This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Four of Ohio's largest cities, including Cincinnati and Dayton, have now adopted a mask mandate in an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19. But even with all the science in support of the efficacy of masks, their use is not universal and in many cases have become a politically charged issue, as seen in countless viral videos online. So we want to hear from you about what you're seeing around town as it relates to masks and how you feel about it. So give us a call now at 513-419-7100. And we'll also share some of the many comments we received online and via email. But joining us now to discuss masks and their efficacy is University of San Francisco distinguished research scientist and the founder of Mask for All, Jeremy Howard. Jeremy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And again, our number is 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Based on the amount of comments we've gotten, we know that you are aware of how to find us there. Jeremy, let's just start with a basic overview of the situation currently. What's happening in America when compared to many other countries as it relates to masks?
Sure. So there's now a very wide scientific and public health body consensus that wearing masks can dramatically slow the spread of COVID-19. It can potentially save the economy, save jobs. And in America, it's believed that the mandates already in over 20 U.S. states have saved around 300,000 American lives. So there is a lot of interest in this topic, as you can imagine. About 80% of the world's population now lives in regions that require masks, and over 95% lives in regions that require or recommend them. So mask usage is becoming the norm nearly everywhere around the world for this virus.
So that's not the case in America, though, it appears.
It is now. We're actually, Ohio is one of the later movers here. Over half of Americans live in states or cities that require masks when in public indoors. So cities like San Francisco and states like New York. So in fact, in America, it's amazing how quickly it's moved. We don't have a national mandate because that's not really how things are kind of done in the U.S., but states are moving quickly. For example, Texas recently announced that all counties with over 20 cases require masks. As we see this kind of second wave surging in states like Texas and Florida and increasingly Ohio now, we're seeing more and more mask requirements being put in place in America.
We're seeing it at the municipal level in Ohio. We haven't seen a state one here yet. And in Kentucky, there have been no mask mandates adopted yet. Indiana, our area of Indiana, does not have one either. So right now, it's mostly voluntary outside of the city of Cincinnati. And what we're seeing in terms of the comments are people getting frustrated with each other, particularly if they are adopting the mask, but they're seeing their neighbors and fellow community members not doing so.
Right. Well, in fact, Ohio is unique in America in that DeWine actually did put in place a mask mandate months ago. He was one of the first in the country to do so, and he rolled it back 24 hours later because there was such an uproar from a kind of a small but very vocal part of the community. And this was a real shame because there were other states like Maryland that also moved early, and Maryland has a Republican governor, and he explained when he put in place the mandate that this was a question of liberty and freedom, that people should not have the freedom to potentially kill you and infect you without you being able to do anything about it just by going outside. But we didn't see that messaging from DeWine in Ohio, and instead, after he got pushback, he folded, which I think was a real shame.
And we also got pushback from state lawmakers, and we talked to one earlier today. We're going to play that interview in just a bit. We talked with State Representative Bill Seitz, who is an opponent of mask mandates. That will be coming up. But speaking of messaging as it relates to mask, I'm wondering, Jeremy, what you think about the early messages as it related to mask from national figures and maybe state-level public health officials that seemed discouraging about random masks, you know, the cloth mask. Like, if you didn't have an N95 mask, then you're really not helping yourself. And now that position has been widely reversed and emphasized that it's been reversed. But that first message, how big of an impact do you think that had on a lot of people's mindsets?
It was huge, you know, and that messaging was deceitful, it was unscientific, and it was deadly. And it's very hard to walk that back. It came from the highest levels. It came from the Surgeon General of America. It came from the CDC and worldwide. It came from the WHO. They've all now reversed their positions, but not in a humble, direct, you know, we lied to you, or at least we made a mistake, we've changed our mind, but they just suddenly switched over and acted as if they had never said the exact opposite. And so they've really lost the trust of a lot of American citizens and people around the world. It's absolutely horrifying what happened. And now, you know, Americans are paying the price with their lives and their jobs and the economy.
And again, we're talking with University of San Francisco distinguished research scientist and the founder of Mask for All, Jeremy Howard. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Jeremy, just to share an anecdote from my personal experience over the July 4 weekend, I headed out to my family's to, enjoy the weekend with them and stopped by a store in my old stomping grounds. And there were no masks being worn by any customers and no masks being worn by staff members. And that's been particularly unusual. You do mostly see businesses. I'm seeing shopkeepers and employees wearing masks. That wasn't the case at this store. I was wearing my mask. And as I came out, a woman stopped me and she was also masked. And she just said, "Thank you. Good job on the mask." And so there seems to be like these dual communities evolving in this period. I'm wondering why you think, if you think at all, that there are now political connections to people's decision whether to mask up or not.
Right. Well, first, let's explain that comment. So the reason she said that is that wearing a mask is an act of strength, an act of respect, and an act of kindness. Wearing a mask does improve somewhat, decrease the likelihood somewhat that you will get the disease. But what it does really well is it stops you from passing on the disease to others in case you have it and you don't know. We now believe that about half of infections come from people that don't know they're sick. So it's so important that people do that to protect their families and communities. So that thank you was a very well-placed thank you. Now, I will say that this issue is far less politically polarized than you might imagine from the media. Around 80% of Republicans say that they wear masks and that they want other people to wear masks in the community in U.S. national surveys. Now, that is less than Democrats. Democrats, it's 99%. But nonetheless, the vast majority of Americans on both sides of the political spectrum are wearing masks and want everybody to wear masks. The people who don't are just particularly vocal about it and sometimes even violent.
We'll share some comments now. We got an email from HB who said, "Just wanted to note something promising, respectful, and considerate, which I witnessed over the weekend at Alt Park. While many hikers were not wearing masks, when my friend and I, who were wearing masks, came upon another hiking pair going in the opposite direction on the trail who were not wearing masks, these other two people stopped on the trail and turned their backs to us while we passed them so that they wouldn't potentially pass anything on to us. Wouldn't it be wonderful," HB writes, "if more people took this attitude and showed their concern for strangers?" And you can email us at talk@wvxu.org as well. Kevin from Mason wrote us and said, quote, "I honestly don't know what disgusts me more, members of the general public who prance around maskless or the stores who allow them to do so." He says, "I've recently decided to no longer shop at a major grocery chain. Their name begins with K," he writes, "for this very reason. This is not a matter of, quote, liberty. We're in the midst of a public health crisis. Until major stores do the right thing and begin requiring masks like Menards or Trader Joe's, they've lost me as a customer." And if you want to join our conversation on the phone, it's 513-419-7100. We'll go to the phone lines now. We've got Greg. Hi, Greg. What's your question or comment?
Hi, yes, I just wanted to comment. Often I will see someone with a mask while I'm wearing mine, and I make sure to say thank you for wearing one, just to encourage its use. I also have felt obligated to speak up the few times I've had to go to a store or drive-through, and the employees were wearing masks that some would have them on their chin, some around their neck, and so on, and I would quite firmly point out that there was no point to have a mask on if you weren't wearing it properly. So I would urge people, if they come across employees not wearing them correctly, to point that out to the employees.
Greg, we appreciate the call so much. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us. And Jeremy, and again, we're talking with Jeremy Howard of the University of San Francisco, also the founder of Masks for All. That's really not an uncommon sight either for the people who are wearing masks. You know, maybe it's drooping below their nose, or maybe they have it hanging from their chin. And I'm wondering if that's something that you see in your neck of the woods.
Right. Well, you know, talking of that, that shop that starts with the letter K, you know, one thing that listeners should absolutely do is point out to shops that don't require masks that they do not wish to go and shop there anymore. This is actually very common. The vast majority of Americans have said they would feel safer and more comfortable on airplanes and in shops and on public transport as if everybody was required to wear a mask. So it's a very commercially sensible thing to do. Costco has done it, for example, nationwide. And if the manager of your local shop isn't hearing from you, hearing that you will do more business with them if everybody is required to wear a mask, then you know they're not going to know that this is a commercially sensible decision, which the survey says it absolutely is. Now, if people are wearing a mask over their mouth but not over their nose, that's actually not a big problem. The droplets which transmit this virus almost entirely come out of the mouth, not out of the nose. So you're just as protected, really, if the people around you have their nose covered or not covered. If the mouth is not covered, then indeed the mask is entirely pointless. And it's certainly reasonable, I think, to say to employees of a shop, you know, you should be wearing the protective equipment that your employer has provided for you.
513-419-7100 is the number to call. We've got Amanda on the line. Hi, Amanda. What's your question or comment?
Hi. It's both a comment, I guess, and perhaps a question for the guest. I'm a little reassured by your last statement that the vast majority of Americans would prefer to see more, I guess, robust mask-wearing requirements in place. But you see these videos of Americans storming box retail stores demanding to be permitted to shop without wearing a mask. And I know people here in Ohio who seem to feel it's their constitutional right or something like this to go into business places and not wear a mask or just not wear a mask, period. And, you know, most of these people, none of these people I can think of are constitutional lawyers or experts. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are what it is about American culture and what could be done, about why it seems to devolve to this, I guess, constitutional-based kind of argument, and what it is about this paradigm that people aren't thinking about public health or the public good. Oh. It seems so sad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you, Amanda.
There's a lot to unpack there, and these are great questions. I mean, the first thing I'll say is I understand why people are confused and frustrated, because as was pointed out earlier, the messaging from public health figures has been appalling. Having said that, it's, you know, it is now settled and lots of places have mandates and lots of shops do require masks for the safety of their customers. Some people are concerned that wearing a mask might be unhealthy and could lead them to have too much carbon dioxide or not enough oxygen based on some totally incorrect videos that have been viral on YouTube. It actually turns out that the amount of oxygen you get when wearing a mask is no more than 0.1% less than you would without a mask. So there's really no issue there. From this constitutional point of view, there's actually plenty of well-established examples in American law in many states of clothing requirements. In the vast majority of states, you are expected to wear some kind of pants or other garments when you go outside. To not do so would be considered unhygienic and illegal. Masks are just another garment which public health bodies are saying people are expected to wear. And it's just like you can't speed at 200 miles an hour while drunk in a school zone. These are limitations we place on people in the community in order to keep people safe. And there's certainly no sign that they are unconstitutional. They're very well established by legal precedent.
I talked earlier this morning with State Representative Bill Seitz. He is a Republican from Cincinnati. We chatted for a few minutes. I want to play those comments for you now. Representative Bill Seitz, thank you so much for being with us today.
Happy to be with you.
So a couple of months ago, you and fellow lawmakers took action in Columbus to prevent any mandate on wearing masks in Capitol proceedings. Is that correct?
We declined to change our House rules to require masks in the State House.
Okay.
Yes, we did do that.
So what has anything changed for you in the weeks since that May decision?
No.
And why do you believe that maybe you don't need to wear masks? We're seeing a lot more evidence suggested from health officials and political leaders that wearing a simple cloth mask can help in the slowing of the spread of COVID-19.
Well, let's start with what the science actually establishes, which is that masks can be useful when social distancing cannot be maintained. So to that extent, I do give credit to Cincinnati City Council for making their citywide mask mandate applicable only in an indoor environment that is closer to what the science would support. So I give them credit for that. But I have three points that I would argue about why I would oppose their mask mandate and any similar mask mandate at the State House. Number one, it's a little bit like when you were in high school and they kept telling you, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink. It just made you want to go out and figure out ways to drink just to frustrate your parents. So mandates encourage a counter reaction that is counter to what you're trying to achieve, and you'd have a better chance of doing it with persuasion than with mandates. Number two, these mandates are going to prove to be utterly unenforceable. The police have better things to do. Cincinnati City Council has already said they're not going to have the police enforce this. The health department does not have the resources to enforce this. So when we pass unenforceable laws, we're passing laws that simply encourage disrespect for law generally. And we're engaged in a mere virtue signaling exercise. Some would call it grandstanding. And then third, a one-size-fits-all mask mandate, even indoors, is really unnecessary. I'll give myself as an example. I work downtown in an enclosed office. I am never within 6 feet of anybody for longer than it takes to walk past them. I might meet with my legal assistant twice a day for less than a minute of time to exchange papers. I don't frequent bars and nightclubs. And I live alone. So the concept that I have to run around with a mask everywhere is really not even remotely warranted, given the circumstances that I have and the circumstances that many other people in Cincinnati have that have been practicing social distancing and being cautious and using common sense.
Have you worn a mask since all this has started?
What's that?
Have you worn a mask since all this started?
Oh, yeah. For example, when you go to the doctor's office, they give you a mask. I wore a mask yesterday at the doctor's office when I had a checkup at the doctor's office. Yes.
All right. Representative Bill Seitz, we so much appreciate the time that you gave us and the perspective that you shared.
Very good. Thank you.
And again, this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. That was me, Michael Monks, talking with Representative Bill Seitz, the Republican of Cincinnati. Earlier, I'm joined on the phone by University of San Francisco distinguished research scientist and the founder of Masks for All, Jeremy Howard. Jeremy, any reaction to Representative Seitz's comments?
Well, I kind of want to scream, but I guess I shouldn't since this is public radio and all. So instead, I will try and calmly point out that his comments were based on a misunderstanding of the science and the policy implications, and I would really expect to see better from a public figure. There are aspects there are parts that are correct. It is true that masks help when you cannot socially distance. But a letter from over 200 aerosol scientists that just came out yesterday pointed out something we've known for a long time, in fact, which is that 6 feet is not safe. And in fact, masks dramatically decrease the distance that infective droplets can travel. So social distancing and masks are a fantastic combination. But just because you're more than 6 feet away from somebody absolutely does not make you safe. Furthermore, the actual state of the situation in America around mask mandates is that they are incredibly effective. The majority of states that do not have a mask mandate have the minority of people in those states wearing masks. So in places where there isn't a mask mandate, most people don't wear masks. In states where there is a mask mandate, on average, over 70% of people do wear masks. Regardless of the enforceability or not, Americans, on the whole, respond to thoughtful laws that are designed to improve their economy and the public health. The other thing is, even if you don't think you're sick, like he thought, he's probably not sick because he's careful, you don't know that to be true. And in this case, he was unaware, apparently, of the ability to get infected at a distance beyond 6 feet. So he doesn't realize he could be sick right now, and he could be absolutely passing that sickness onto his community without knowing it. He could be killing people without knowing it. So he should absolutely be wearing a mask. It's true, only probably indoors. That's the key place. And this can be done in a thoughtful way, like the recent example in Texas, where they said any county with more than, I think it was 20 cases, requires a mask. So it doesn't have to be one size fits all. You can actually create laws which are thoughtful about where the requirements are really needed.
And just as we were talking, we just received a press release from Metro, the bus system here in Cincinnati. All Metro customers and operators will be required to wear a face covering on board Metro buses beginning Thursday, July 9th, in accordance with the new city ordinance passed in Cincinnati on July 3rd. We're going to continue this conversation with Jeremy Howard. More of your phone calls, emails, and social media comments just ahead. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We are still joined by University of San Francisco Distinguished Research Scientist and the founder of Masks for All, Jeremy Howard. He joins us via Skype. Jeremy, thank you so much for staying with us.
Okay.
And we want to hear from you as well at 513-419-7100 or at talk at wvxu.org. Some emails. Steve writes to say, wearing a mask is not a political statement. It's an IQ test. We also heard from Janelle, who writes, quote, I do wear my mask, but I've also become that person that reminds strangers their mask is not a magic cloth, that its mere presence is protective. And she writes, do you think people would be more receptive if we added the thought of poor air quality in addition to the pandemic? Jeremy, I suppose that might be a question for you.
I don't know. I mean, it could be. I've certainly heard a lot of people who have started wearing masks for the first time, including me, say that they've overall felt a lot more healthy since they've done so. Here in San Francisco, we're required to wear a mask everywhere out in public, and I'm certainly somebody who tends to get a lot of little sniffles and things like that, and I've totally had none of those this year, which has been great. So yeah, certainly helps you to feel good, I think.
We also got an email from Kimberly who says, thank you so much for addressing this topic. I live in Northern Kentucky, and I would say about 75% of shoppers do not wear masks currently. Another person's right to refuse a government mask mandate doesn't equate to my right to be in public without being infected with a deadly virus. Kimberly goes on to write, quote, also, this virus has proven to be much more serious and deadly than the flu, but that message is not getting out. 1 in 5 cases will result in a serious case, usually requiring hospitalization. Our death rate in the United States is 4.5% of cases, but what is not being reported is the horrible long-term and even permanent effects the virus can have on the body. And speaking of Northern Kentucky, where I live, an operating newspaper called the River City News, I shared WVXU's story about Cincinnati's mask mandate, and we got a lot of comments detracting from it on that side of the Ohio River. We had John write that it was fascist nonsense. We had Darlene write that she's not been across the bridge in years. No need to start now. and plenty of comments that blasted this decision, that they would not be going over to Cincinnati anymore simply because of this mandate. Meanwhile, on the WVXU Facebook page, we got tons of supportive comments for Cincinnati's decision to do this. Anna wrote, "Wearing my mask every time I go out in public. Sadly, I live in a community that worships Trump, so very few wear a mask. The mayor of our town posts pictures of visiting all the small businesses without a mask and without social distancing. She writes, I try to avoid any place that doesn't require masks when possible. I also make my kids, ages 10, 5, and 4, wear masks when we go out in public. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But we're doing something to try and help our fellow neighbors and community members. Just wish they'd do the same for us." Catherine wrote, "I know intelligent people whom I respect and admire who refuse to wear masks. We have had calm, civil discussions about why, and they always come back to, I don't believe masks make a difference, and that the virus is an overblown non-threat created by the left to oust Trump from office, and that the coronavirus is no more than a bad flu." 513-419-7100 is the number to call. We've got Lauren on the line. Hi, Lauren. What's your question or comment?
My comment is that I liken people who don't wear masks to people who drive intoxicated. They might think they're fine, but they're not taking any consideration whatsoever about what their actions may happen to other people. And that's all I have to say.
All right. We appreciate that very much. Thank you for the call. We'll go now to Brian. We have Brian on the line. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I wanted to comment about the caller earlier, the attorney who referred to the ordinance as a law, which it is not. It is an ordinance. And just also comment about his situation, which he explained quite eloquently, which is great, but I didn't think that's not everyone's situation. And I think that we need to understand that different people have different situations. So just because you've been social distancing and you've been able to do that, that shouldn't qualify you to wear a mask, I think we have to realize that everybody has different situations and they vary.
And Brian, are you talking about Bill Seitz, the state representative?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We appreciate the call so much, Brian. Thank you for calling us. 513-419-7100 is the number. Let's go now to Grace. Hi, Grace. What's your question or comment?
Hi. My comment is to Representative Seitz as well. I'm a little tired of these elected public officials who are paid by the citizens to take care of the health and safety of their constituents, and yet they don't see fit to be a proper role model to them. I'm glad that he lives a very insular life, and he doesn't seem to engage with too many people, but I think he's in the wrong profession. I think he needs to think twice about being an elected official if he's not prepared to act as a positive role model.
Grace, thank you so much for the call and sharing your perspective with us. We've also got an email in response to Representative Seitz's comments. It's from Amy. She says that Bill Seitz is giving a terrible message to the community. She writes, "I was walking in Hyde Park Saturday morning. A young man jogged close by to me and my friend. I said something to him about stepping aside or wearing a mask. He called me an old hag." She goes on to write that people like Bill Seitz give people like this young man a license to flout common sense about health care. It's shameful. 513-419-7100. We'll go to Randy now. Hi, Randy. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I'm a high school teacher, and I just want to hear what your guest thinks about our school, for example, is planning on opening up, bringing the kids back, so over 1,000 in the building, and they're not going to require the students to wear masks. Just strongly recommended, but, you know, teenagers, you don't require them. They'll probably make the decision not to wear masks and see what he thinks about that situation.
Randy, can I ask which school district you're talking about?
Little Miami High School.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. We'll hang up and see if Jeremy can comment on that. Jeremy, schools do want to go back in some fashion in the fall, whether it be secondary schools, elementary schools, or post-secondary schools. And there seems to be a lot of different approaches to this. But what are your thoughts about masks among the young people in the high schools and the elementary schools?
Yeah, well, I mean, we want to have schools open, and we also want them to stay open. And if there is an outbreak at a school, they're going to close right up again. We've seen that all around the world. Unfortunately, schools seem to be areas where transmission can be fast and destructive. In Israel, for example, school outbreaks really set the entire country back in terms of recovering from the virus. So keeping outbreaks away from schools is important, and that means mask wearing is important. We think it might be the most effective tool we have to stop the transmission of the virus prior to having a vaccine. And exactly right. I mean, kids aren't going to wear masks if they don't have to. So it really seems important that we figure out a way to have kids wearing a mask. They have to be worn all the time, and find ones which are, you know, that are comfortable and that they can be worn for a long period of time. It's also important schools think about things like ventilation. They want to have all the windows and doors open to maximize the amount of airflow, avoid those infected droplets from building up in the classroom.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're joined via Skype by Jeremy Howard. He is a distinguished research scientist at the University of San Francisco and the founder of Masks for All. And Jeremy, we had prepared to have you on for a certain amount of time, but we realized how much response this is getting on the phones and in the emails. And we've got another 15 minutes or so of the program, and we're hoping that you might be able to stick around so that we can take some more calls. But if you've got to run, you can say so.
We will see what my four-year-old daughter does, and if she starts demanding attention, she will take precedence.
That is totally fair. We understand, and we know that a lot of families who are listening certainly can relate to that new work-from-home life that we're all experiencing, and I think in order to get out of that, what you're saying is maybe mask up, and that's a quicker approach to not having to deal with this. I believe we got a voicemail from a caller that we want to play, Josh.
My name is Bernadine, and I live in Anderson Township. I think the people that are not wearing masks think that the mask protects them rather than other people because they're not listening to shows like yours and shows like the NPR shows that are telling everyone that the masks protect everyone around you. And that Dr. Acton and Governor DeWine have made apparent over and over and over again. Because I did have one woman comment to me in a store when I walked away from her. She goes, "I'm not sick." Well, you may not be, but I don't want to be. And so I've learned the stores where people wear masks and where people don't, and needless to say, I'm not going to go back to that big box store where hardly anyone was wearing masks, any of the customers. But the staff have always been wonderful in any store that I've been in this area.
Thank you, Bernadine, for leaving us that voicemail, which is something that listeners can do anytime at 513-419-7100 when we're not airing live as we are currently. But you can call that number now and join our conversation live. To the point that Bernadine was making about public radio programs, which we appreciate, we got a comment from Sally on one of our Facebook posts trying to solicit comments for this program. And she said, quote, "Frankly, as responsible journalist, I would hope that the episode of Cincinnati Edition would present the science behind our need to wear masks rather than try to offer some sort of, quote, balanced discussion between proven science and selfish people who can't be bothered to do something to help their neighbor. This is a matter of life or death. Journalists shouldn't be giving people equal airtime to opinions that will literally kill people." That's a comment from Sally, and that comment got a lot of likes. It got more likes than we got comments on that thread, Jeremy. And I know that you're in the science business, not media commentary, but what is the right approach here when facilitating a conversation? I mean, we did present some comment from a lawmaker who does have some role in possible legislation that relates to the coronavirus and mask. But if the statements are anti-science, what are we supposed to do, do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we've had similar situations with climate change and with vaccinations where, you know, like with masks, there is a overwhelming scientific consensus, but it's always possible to find a small number of folks who will disagree with any position. Earlier on, smoking and seatbelts both were in similar situations. And I guess for the media, it's a case of presenting the scientific consensus as scientific consensus and to say, you know, there are overwhelmingly discredited views that sound a bit like this, and this is why most scientists say they're wrong. So, for example, I talked earlier about the discredited view of the impact on carbon dioxide and oxygen when wearing a mask. I think it's good to point them out so that when people hear this kind of misinformation, they can correct it. And certainly it's not just a scientific thing, it is a political thing as well, as you mentioned, and to hear from the policymakers is great, particularly when we have a chance like we did today to help correct them when they misunderstand the data.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined via Skype by University of San Francisco distinguished research scientist and the founder of Mask for All, Jeremy Howard. Jeremy, thank you for sticking around, and be sure to extend my thanks to your four-year-old for the apparent good behavior that's taking place to give you the extra time to stay with us. And 513-419-7100 is the number to call. We have the lines pretty full. Let's go now to Reese. Hi, Reese. What's your question or comment?
Hi. My comment is I don't understand why there is such a concern or consideration for individuals who have absolutely no concern or consideration for others. I don't know why, or I don't know where my desire and need to stay healthy is usurped by someone's need to have just their desire to do what they want to do. How does their right to do what they want to do, why is it more important than my right to stay healthy? And, you know, when people work in retail, you have people that come in, they don't have masks on. People working in retail a lot of times are places they don't have a lot of choice. You have a choice to wear a mask for a minute or two and then leave. It's just not right, and it's inconsiderate, and it's mean.
Reese, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us in that call. And Jeremy, this is something that really the country is grappling with, because on the one hand, right, we want the economy to be reopened. And a lot of the people who are economically vulnerable work in lower income jobs, such as retail, and they have no choice but to go back to work, with the argument being right that perhaps the economic stimulus wasn't large enough or consistent enough. And right, they have to be there. And so they're wearing masks, but they might That's be exactly endangered by people who are coming in without them.
That's exactly right. And it's not only that. People who don't wear masks are putting the entire economy at risk. A recent analysis from Goldman Sachs estimated that a nationwide mask mandate would add about $1 trillion to the GDP directly. This is a huge impact on the economy. It would mean more jobs. It would mean less small businesses would have to close. So it's not just that the people are putting others at danger in terms of their health, but they're putting jobs and the economy at danger, which means that U.S. businesses are going to close down, also that they can keep their face uncovered. I just don't understand that calculation.
And just a quick programming note for our listeners, you heard us promote earlier that we were going to be discussing the housing study to try to address the lack of about 40,000 affordable housing units in Hamilton County, a new study that suggests a way forward. We are rescheduling that conversation, possibly for tomorrow or a later date, so stay tuned and we will let you know when that conversation comes back. We will go back to the phones now. We've got Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. What's your question or comment?
Well, I own a small business in Dayton, and all my employees wear masks, and there's a big sign on the door that says, any customers coming in have to wear masks and cover your nose and mouth. Everybody works fine with this. I just came from a McDonald's where the person taking my money had a mask, their nose was fully exposed. The person handing me the food, their nose was fully exposed. Now, the last time I checked, when I exhale air from my lungs, it could either go through my mouth or my nose. And one of your guests said that you could really leave the nose open and that really wouldn't add much to the risk of infecting somebody else. That's preposterous.
Jim, thank you so much. We'll have Jeremy address that now. Thank you for the call, Jim. We appreciate it. Jeremy, this was back earlier when you talked about maybe not having the nose covered wasn't as big a deal,
right,
as some of us thought.
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive. It's very counterintuitive. But actually, the infection is believed to largely be coming from speaking, not just from breathing. And when you speak, you eject 10 times more of those infected droplets than when you breathe. And furthermore, the vocal cords actually dislodge the virus. The viral shedding occurs in the upper respiratory tract. So this is why we're particularly careful of vocalization. We don't want people talking or singing or yelling loudly at all. And if they are talking, we want them wearing a mask, and those droplets are going to come out of the mouth. If you don't cover the nose, you could even get a better mouth seal. So, look, I think it would be better if people covered both nose and mouth, but based on the science that we kind of have at the moment, it seems that covering the mouth is much more important, and I'd rather people wear masks a bit than not at all, so it's not something that personally I'm as worried about.
Let's go now to Tim. Hi, Tim. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I live in a rural community, Georgetown, Ohio, and it seems like very few people wear masks. But not only the customers going into stores and people on the streets, but even the store owners and workers themselves. While the lockdown was still on, I went out, ran some errands, and there were some businesses that were considered essential, the local hardware store, the John dealership. I went into those, mask on, of course, and they didn't have masks on. And I didn't want to raid in a small town. People know you just they see you around. They know who you are. So I wasn't going to say anything in the store, but I went home, called the local health department in Georgetown, and they mentioned the names. I mentioned the names of the proprietors, the businesses, and they presumably took them down. Didn't make a bit of difference. So it's hard enough to, I mean, in some areas, not only do you not get the customers wearing them, you don't get the workers in the stores wearing them. And what seemed particularly upsetting to me was that these were businesses that enjoyed the benefit of remaining open as essential when so many other businesses were shuttered because of the virus. And here are ones that had the benefit of staying open. We're floating the requirement.
Tim, thank you so much for sharing the perspective. We do appreciate it. Thank you for listening and sharing your comment with us. I want to make sure that we get to as many of these calls on the line still as we can in our final 5 minutes or so. So let's go now to Jay. Hi, Jay. What's your question or comment?
Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't say how much I love this show and this network.
Thank you, Jay.
It's the best radio station in the world, in my honest opinion.
We appreciate it.
I wanted to get to the point. This is why I think that these people will not wear masks, because there's another virus, not only the virus of racism, but the virus of meism. People are thinking about, well, I don't want to. They like little children. They think about their rights. But they think about their rights and they neglect their duties. Rights are duties. People always will scream about their right, but they won't think about their duty to their fellow man. I'll cut it short because you have other callers.
Jay,
thank you and have a great day.
We appreciate the call and the compliment and the sentiment. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's go now to Billy. Hi, Billy. What's your question or comment?
Hi, yes, thanks. Just a comment and then a quick question. Once mask mandates are in place, I don't see how they could easily be rolled back. So is it probable that mandates will be in place until such a time as there is a vaccine? And at that point, is a vaccine mandate probable? Thanks.
All right. We appreciate the call, Billy. And I'm not sure that I have an answer for you immediately. I'm looking at Jay Hanselman's reporting here at WVXU on the mandate. We know it goes into effect on Thursday, July the 9th, and I don't necessarily see an expiration date on that sticking out. Jeremy, have you seen anything similar in ordinances or other mandates that have been adopted across the country on expirations?
Generally speaking, some have an expiration date built in. Some it's kind of just as long as it's needed. My view is that it's pretty likely, given how things are going in the US, that this is going to be a significant issue until a vaccine comes along. Tony Fauci is saying that could be as little as 6 months away. So it does seem quite likely that in places, at least where there is significant community transmission, that we're going to be needing to wear masks until then, unless people are so good at wearing masks and socially distancing that some regions can largely eliminate the virus, in which case, hopefully, we can stop having to worry about that.
Go back to the phones. Now we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, what's your question or comment?
Now, I found that Representative Seitz's defense of his position to be rather childish, to say the least. Using his logic about how we, when we were younger, drank alcohol because we were told not to, I would recommend that we pass a law that you're not allowed to wear a mask. And according to Seitz's thinking, then everybody would wear one.
Joseph, thank you so much for the call and the chuckle. We appreciate that very much. We've got time for a couple more, I think. Let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason. What's your question or comment?
Hi. It's more of a comment, I guess, maybe a question. I was just wondering if anybody's treated it this or explained it similar to a smoking ban. You know, we don't let people smoke indoors really anywhere anymore, especially at restaurants. And it's not really about telling you what you can or can't do to yourself. It's about telling you what you can't or shouldn't do to the people around you.
And Jason, to your point, not only have we heard some people talk about it in that sense as a public health initiative, but I spoke with the executive director of the Kentucky League of Cities over the weekend, J.D. Cheney, and he compared the opposition to masks to the opposition to smoking bans. So it is out there as a discussion, and we do appreciate the call and the perspective. Thank you very much. And we'll go now to Samara. Hi, Samara. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Michael. I love your show. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Love listening to every day. So my comment is, the people who aren't wearing masks, you know, it's very selfish. I have a mother who's, your age, and she's a nurse. And to be quite honest, she's quite frustrated because, you know, she puts her life on the line to treat people, and it's just very disheartening when people aren't taking the responsibility to wear a mask. So that's my comment.
Samara, thank you for listening, and thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. A couple more emails I'd like to share from Marie, who wrote, as the numbers spike and as even Goldman Sachs says it's better for the economy if people wear masks, is there a possibility of more buy-in by the public, especially Ohioans? As an educator, I'm highly concerned about schools without mask. And Jeremy, I'm wondering if that messaging is going to be more effective than what just the general public health messaging has been. Like, let's save the economy by wearing a mask. Does that sound more effective?
I think it's another effective approach. Overall, we've done some surveys to try to find out what kind of messaging works. And generally speaking, the very direct messaging that mask wearing is a sign of respect, a sign of kindness, and a sign of strength is something that people, it's very accurate and people really relate to that. But yes, also it is important for certain groups of people to focus on the impact on jobs and the economy and small businesses. And as we've seen from Goldman Sachs, it's certainly the impact on that is extraordinarily high, we expect.
And we're just about out of time, but I've got one more email for you, Jeremy. It's from Jenny, who writes, I would like to thank Jeremy and Masks for All for everything they have done. After I heard him on NPR earlier this spring, I have shared his information with many people. I even sent a question to his organization and got a prompt reply. So there's a big thanks for you, Jeremy, from Jenny, and my thanks to you as well, Jeremy Howard.
And I will add that with the entire organization is volunteer scientists. Nobody's getting paid a single penny for this, so it's really great to hear it's working.
Jeremy Howard, thank you so much for the extra time you gave us today. So appreciated.
Okay.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.